Welcome back to another episode of A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancy. I'm excited to launch another episode for you all. I'm Vincent Lancy, speaker and author of the book Left for Dead, A Story of Redemption. When I was 21 years old, I was the victim of a hit-and-run accident while walking home from a friend's birthday. After coming out of a coma and suffering from a traumatic brain injury, or you may know of as a TBI, I soon realized that it was time to put my mental health on a very high pedestal. This transformative experience has caused me to create a podcast that is all things mental health. Would it benefit you to hear from mental health professionals and influencers? Would it also add value to your life to hear real life and authentic stories from people talking about their mental health, the issues they face, and how they actively combat them? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you came to the right place. I want to start by congratulating you for making your mental health a priority. If you missed the last episode, be sure to download it after you tune in today. On this episode, I'm happy to introduce my guest, Courtney Chanel. Courtney is another product of networking, as a guest on my other podcast series, What It's Really Like to Be an Entrepreneur, gave me a great fit for this series. Courtney is a licensed social worker in the state of New Jersey. She curates spaces and content for Black women and women of color focused on mental health, the millennial lifestyle, and motherhood. She's extremely passionate about normalizing mental health in communities of color and so much more. She's extremely passionate about this mental health world, so once I read her profile, I realized that I had to have her on the show to add her perspective. Courtney, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Vincent.
Absolutely. Would you mind please introducing yourself to our listeners and share part of your story before we dive in and get going? And please do also share your role relating to mental health.
Yes. So like I said, I am a licensed social worker in the state of New Jersey, providing therapy, counseling, and psychoeducation to my students in Newark. I also create content and events focused on mental health and wellness of Black women and women of color. So in the work that I do in and outside of the school, I use the 8 dimensions of wellness to really drive home the key topics of mental health and wellness. Working as a high school social worker, I definitely come across a lot of different things, and it really is something that I'm thrilled to talk to you about today.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate your time and the perspective you're going to bring to the show. So you're currently working with high school age individuals.
Yes. Yes.
I'm very excited for that perspective. I had a teacher, one of my friends, who's a traumatic brain injury survivor, John Infeld, earlier. He works in the school, so he gave some perspective that way. So I'm very, very excited to hear what you have to say, especially in this time now as we're recording. We're in the midst of this coronavirus. So thank you again, Courtney. And something I do on each episode is I share a mental health story of someone who is famous because I want to let you, the listeners, know you are not alone. I want you to understand that even though someone looks like they are healthy from the outside, they may not be on the inside too. Today, I will share the mental health related story of Emma Stone that I read on a write-up from ABC News. And for Emma Stone, acting was so much more than a job, because this Oscar winner, she credits being able to perform as a way to cope with her lifelong panic and anxiety attacks. In this article, Stone discussed when she was 27 years old and actually had her first panic attack. I wanted to include some of her quotes to help you all listening on resonate a bit if there's a similar situation for you. And she said in a quote, "I was sitting at a friend's house and all of a sudden I was absolutely convinced that the house was on fire." She added, "I was just sitting in her bedroom and obviously the house wasn't on fire, but there was something in me that did think I was going to die." She said that every day throughout second grade, she would go to her nurse's office convinced she had a stomach bug and have the nurse call her mother. And this is where she started suffering from some deep separation anxiety as well. I'll end this write-up with one more final quote from Emma, and she's saying, quote, "I believe the people who have anxiety and depression are very, very sensitive and very, very smart. Because the world is hard and scary, there's a lot that goes on, and if you aren't attuned to it, it can be crippling. But if you don't let it cripple you and use it for something productive, it's like a superpower." Courtney, what'd you take away from that story or her public statements on mental health?
Oh my goodness. I think there's so many things that we could pick apart with her statement. I mean, her description of what the panic attack felt like and even knowing that the house wasn't on fire is one that is all too common in my school. It's not as frequent as it was previously, but students were actually having panic attacks before. And for myself, more recently, I had one of my own that was totally unexpected. Or I can't say that it wasn't unexpected. I know I was experiencing high levels of anxiety as an event planner dealing with coronavirus and everything that was going on. I had just come back from Trinidad and trying to navigate what does it look like for my two events that were upcoming. I was supposed to have an event on March 21st, and then I was to have my Mother's Day event on May 2nd, both of which are postponed or rescheduled, rather. And then trying to navigate transitioning back home from a extended trip of just 1 week. But my son was also going through some adjustments to me having been gone and now coming back. So I had a really hard time adjusting back to work, motherhood, and then even being a small business owner thereafter. And that led to the abrupt feeling like I had no control, not really knowing what was going on, and just trying to regain it. So one of the things that I thought about was what we're dealing with the coronavirus now. And she mentioned, you know, if you are making yourself susceptible to all of the media and things like that, it can be crippling and anxiety provoking. So if we're not filtering the information that's coming from the news and social media and the constant conversations happening about it, we can become overstimulated, our stress can be increased, and it can lead to nothing less than increased anxiety. So for someone like me, who not only deals with anxiety in her personal life, but also teaches students the skills necessary to manage their own, I can relate to what she said. I don't believe she made mention of it can become a superpower. For me, I don't necessarily believe in superpowers or being a superhero as far as mental health is concerned, only because we're human and we feel. And I think having conversations like these is what normalizes mental health and being okay with acknowledging where we are and how we actually feel.
I love the way you put that. You know, we're working towards destigmatizing a lot of things. You know, every episode obviously does come up where we're doing our part with these conversations that can really go above and beyond helping someone having one of those bad days. But thank you for sharing that and for sharing your take, because now it's time for the main event. Courtney, on each episode, my guest and I will go over this series of 6 questions, which only slightly varies depending on if the guest is speaking on their own or others' mental health. And today we have both. So by doing this, we're going to deliver a lot of value. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Great. So many would agree that the more common or talked about types of mental illnesses are mood disorders, anxiety disorders, and schizophrenia disorders. What areas do you come across the most?
I can honestly say all three. And I'm going to take a step back to my position before I was in the high school.
Please
I previously
do.
Worked at the Children's Crisis Unit, which was the Children and Adolescent Psychiatric Unit in Bergen County. So I had the benefit, I guess, from my clinical career to be able to see it all. And most often we would see children and adolescents come in with depression, anxiety, and some who were on the verge of having their first psychotic break.
Right.
And I can say that even in the school setting, which is why I transitioned there, I wanted to be more proactive, and anxiety, depression, and the preview to psychotic disorders is very much still present. So those three, it's pretty accurate. Those are the three that we see the most and that I'm seeing the most, even in a neighborhood like Newark.
Yeah. So something I've been asking lately to my guests is the increase in anxiety you're talking about. What correlation do you have that to social media and increased phone usage?
Oh my goodness. It's very high. So with younger generations, like Generation Z, I'm a millennial. So we are the peak of, or the introduction to technology and the phones and things like that.
Right.
But for Gen Z, they are growing up with nothing less. I was just thinking about how my son, before I resumed cable usage and then turned it back off. He was a Netflix kid, so he never even knew what a commercial was. There was no break from the content that he was watching. It was just a constant flow. The same thing goes for my teens. Yeah. there's no break. There's no running away from the TV for them. It's like, okay, I can sit here. So with the phone and with social media, they're constantly filtering information and finding things out even before I am. And they're like, right. Mick, you didn't see this on social media? I'm like, no, I take a break from social. So the phones are glued to their hands, their faces are glued to the phone, and it's just this constant cycle of taking in info, and nobody to filter it for them.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You know, something I try to do is try to post, do a quick scan or two, see, get some news, then I try to hop off because I know how much time you can head down that track and you don't get back. But, you know, filtering is very important. When did you decide that a career for mental health would be the right career for you, where you could help filter the information people are getting, especially making an impact on the students where mental health initiatives are finally starting to be enacted?
Oh, goodness. So I actually graduated with a psychology degree and didn't really know which way I wanted to go. So I started with probation work. I was working a summer probation program in the city, in New York City, and felt like it was too late. Like, these kids are getting into trouble. They're already in the system. They're already on probation. They've been arrested before. What more can I do? So then I transitioned to a subset type program where I was able to work through the Close to Home initiative. And that allowed for me to do more advocacy and mentorship with them, but also still too late. After that, I transitioned into a case management role. But even for that, and even for the hospital, which I mentioned earlier, they were already experiencing significant mental health issues with having mental health diagnoses between the ages of 5 and even youngest 4 years old all the way up to 17. So those were the populations I was working with before I got into my current position, which during my interview I said, listen, I need to be in a more proactive role to get ahead of these mental health issues or to even be able to identify them before they transition into something more serious. So my experience has been get ahead of it, identify it, help them become self-aware, and really give them the education that they need on what is happening with them and how to manage stress. So that's why I'm here. That's why I love what I do.
You've kind of dipped around in a lot of major areas, kind of putting all of that expertise together. Which area did you enjoy the most? What area did you get the most out of, maybe I could say? A lot of learning.
Ooh, okay. The most learning was definitely my job as the psychiatric social worker on the hospital, which gave me invaluable clinical experience. But the job that I enjoy the most is my current position because they're learning and they're carrying it over to people who are younger than them, families who are older than them. So in my role, I'm able to impact multiple generations, and it's amazing.
I love that. I love your willingness to give back. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, paying it forward. I try to make sure I get my volunteering in, a big part with Tampa General Hospital down here, where I like to get involved with each fellow traumatic brain injury victims. Yeah, I enjoy that. But what advice can you give to our listeners as maybe considered a potential early sign that they may be starting to develop some form of mental illness?
Gotcha. Okay. So it's super important to know that everybody has mental health, right? So mental health is the baseline. It's positive when there's no stress, something happens, and that leads to a mental distress, a mental health problem, and then a mental disorder or a mental illness. So it's a continuum, and it's in that order. You have positive mental health when there's no distress, no problem, nothing going on. You're able to be thoughtful. You're able to just navigate daily life. And it's you know, your norm. Then if something happens that causes mental distress, I guess a good example would be with the coronavirus. You can be upset. You can be sad because we're staying in the house. You can feel distressed because you're not able to do your normal routine. It can become a mental health problem when you begin to feel grief or you begin to feel loss or you begin to feel isolated and lonely. And that can lead to something like depression. So that's a great example. The depression could be short term, or it can end up being something that's more extended. So a mental health problem would arise when we're faced with a larger stressor than normal. And although stressors are a normal part of life, it's when they go unaddressed that it becomes a mental disorder. One thing that we should remember is that for mental disorders like depression, severe anxiety, and even schizophrenia, it's an interplay between not only the person's environment, but also their genetic makeup and the things that they're exposed to in life. So something external is influencing what's going on internally, and we have to pretty much be aware of how things are impacting us to be able to get ahead of it.
I like it. So you're saying pretty much, you know, early action's crucial.
Yes, it really is. And that really comes from self-awareness. Do you check in with yourself? Do you know how you're feeling? Do you know what is upsetting to you? Do you remove those things or that are upsetting to you? So yeah, you have to really be attuned to yourself and mindful.
I like that. But for those that actually now do have, you know, some sort of mental health difficulty, or they just want to improve their mental health, what are three? And I say just three because I want your three most important things that our listeners can do on a daily or short-term basis to start improving that overall mental health.
On a daily basis, you can maintain self-awareness and do a check-in with yourself. And that really just looks like, okay, today I feel like this. So today I woke up feeling tired, but I was still motivated. And I was very much aware of that. The second thing I would say is having a self-care plan, but one that doesn't involve money. What do you do in your normal day-to-day that you enjoy and actually brings you peace or joy or something like that? And it's not even the bubble bath. It's not even going out to get nails done for ladies or men getting their hair cut. Those are things that I consider to be maintenance. It's something more like, oh, I like listening to this song today, or I like listening to this podcast. I'm going to take the time that I need for myself to do that. And that's my me time. And the last thing I would say is boundaries. Knowing what you need to feel safe and secure. That is a real key component of just maintaining your own positive mental health.
Yeah, I like the way you broke that down too, where I consider, of course, haircuts, getting your nails fixed up. That's, you know, pieces of an overall self-care.
Yep.
But the underlying things, and I like how you said the check-in, self-care without money, that plan, that's a good way to really get our listeners thinking of things that may be right in front of them the whole time. So thank you for that. But those are, you know, obviously great short-term. Let's delve a little deeper here. What are two longer-term commitments our listeners can take on to start creating a more positive mental health space long-term?
I think it really all, it still goes back to the self-awareness piece, right?
Right.
So when you know what impacts you, you can create, you can kind of avoid those things or know how to deal with them. So if you have that level of awareness or that level of mindfulness, then you can say, okay, I know if I speak to this person early in the morning, she's going to upset me. So maybe I'll talk to her later in the day when I don't have anything going on. That's a really good example.
But you know, it's real.
Yes. It's like, okay, what is going to make me tick? Let me set, and it goes back to the boundaries discussion too. If your boundaries aren't intact, you're making yourself susceptible to any and everything that the environment wants to throw at you. So knowing your boundaries and knowing what's impacting your mental health. But the second thing would be asking for help when necessary. I think we're still in a space where people are afraid to ask for help.
We're getting better.
And yes.
We're getting better.
We have some work to do.
You're right. You are right, though. You are right.
Yes. So definitely being okay with saying I'm not okay. How can I get there? And who can I talk to, or what can I do to get back to that point? So those are two things that I would say are really important.
Yeah, I like the way you put that as well. You know, earlier guest Tony Alexander, he has this little saying where it's okay, man. Like, it's okay to talk. It's okay to speak up, and you know, people are here, people are listening. What are some things you have planned in the future here? What are, we know we're doing all this great work. You've been a part of many different organizations at many different levels. You obviously have a passion to keep improving mental health. What are some things you're going to be doing to raise awareness for the importance of mental health in the future? What are we working on?
After my son was born, he was born in 2016. In 2017, I needed a podcast for me. But that's how my platform started. I created a space for moms to just feel normal or to feel like they weren't alone. Okay. And that's when I started the blog Mommy Moves, which has now since transitioned into Courtney Chanel. My platform via my website, through the events, through social media, and just maintaining overall connectivity has allowed me to, one, educate anybody who follows me on mental health topics, knowing what anxiety is versus depression, knowing that anxiety can drive depression and vice versa. I really take advantage of using my platform for that, and in such have created, in its second year, Milena Mom, which is a space for not only just a space, a celebration for moms to come together, but talk about topics related to motherhood. And for this year, it focused on the woman behind the mom. So focusing on who you were before you were a mom and how you can incorporate her back into that. And then the second event that was supposed to take place this past weekend is the Empowerment Expo, and now happening in August. That's an event that's merging mental health and wellness with career and personal development. So I am using those two spaces to be able to push forward mental health and wellness. And then of course I have I Am Not Superwoman, which is my marquee for Black women and women of color to really take off that cape that everybody thinks that we're wearing and talk about how we're feeling and what we're doing and how we can navigate just everyday life with a focus on ourselves.
I really like what you're doing, and you know, you're kind of just bringing people together, and like we spoke about before, kind of the theme of our episode here, the communication and early action, and if we can all speak together and share the expertise we all acquired through different paths of life, who knows what could happen as far as the good. But exactly. Courtney, thank you so much for coming on. I know our listeners are going to see all the value in today's episode. I loved how you, when you talked about your career path, you really went through it all. You have a passion. You showed our listeners where the information's coming from, how you are a credible source. And I also like how you broke it down for the short-term solutions, you know, check in, self-care without money, self-care plan, just looking at what could be right in front of you. So I appreciate that. And now it's time for the last word. This is something I do on my other podcast, what it's really like to be an entrepreneur, because I really want our listeners to get to know my guests. Is there something that you would like to share with our listeners that we did not get to touch on yet today?
Oh, even connected to what's it really like to be an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurship affects your mental health.
We can talk about that. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. It does. I think now is truly a test of time with everyone's events being postponed. Sometimes you just have to accept where you are and what things are going or how things are going and knowing that certain things are not in your control. Let it go, let it flow, and just move with it. I think knowing that sometimes things aren't going to go that way or go the way that you planned allows for us to bounce back much faster. But being okay with not being okay is super important. So I think that that is one thing that I would leave for our last word.
Absolutely. It's definitely a time where I'm hoping everybody can catch up on their mental health activities and getting into new grooves. But thank you for that last word. Would you mind sharing your social media, website, or any other professional ways you have for our listeners to follow your endeavors and stay motivated and up to date in the mental health world?
Yes, indeed. So my social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram is Court Chanel Says. So that's CourtChanelSays. And then my website is Courtney, common spelling, Chanel.com. So that's CourtneyChanel.com.
Great. Thank you for sharing. This is where you can find all her professional updates and content. So be sure to check that out. And be sure to check out the show on Instagram and Facebook at A Mental Health Break and on Twitter at Podcasts by Lancey. I'm at Vincent A. Lancey on all social media and YouTube. And my website is VincentALancey.com. Be sure to check out my book, Left or Dead, A Story of Redemption, on Amazon now. And DM me or email me because I want to hear what you think. If you like today's episode, Please continue listening and rate A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey 5 stars. I work hard to find value delivering guests for you on each episode. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey.